Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Cito, could this game be any more real?
I don't think so.
Could this game be any faster?
I don't think so.
Could this game be any more fun?
I don't think so.
Could Ken Griffey Jr. win the series?
I don't think so.
Ken Griffey Jr. presents Major League Baseball, only on Super Nintendo.
No, I miss commercials during the 90s when we interviewed people remotely.
Yeah,
like that.
That was a good time. Bring it back. Bring it back. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Play Retro. This is Play Retro for Wednesday, August 23rd, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and I played a lot of old school video game baseball back in the day to the point that I kind of thought I could go to the big leagues. Instead of all that, I just focused on pulling off multiple triple plays constantly, and everyone else was a fool.
What'd you do with that big league chew while you was pulling those off?
Cheek and gum, cheek and gum, baby, cheek and gum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm your other host. You got to swallow that stuff, though. You don't want to spit it out. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I always get picked last when we played ball down at the Sandlot. But now I have digital balls right in my living room. Where they never keep score and they never choose sides. Now let's see here. Player one versus CPU and strike one and strike two and I'm out. Screw this game. I'm going outside. This game is an L7 weenie.
L7 weenie, baby.
L7 weenie. Remember that stuff? Yeah.
I do.
You're killing me, Scott.
Yep. You're killing me, Smalls. You know, they filmed that here in Murray, Utah. Yeah. Just near me, right? About like 20 minutes away. They filmed the Sandlot. Yeah.
Cool. Can we see you in the video, like outside, like standing out by the fence?
No, I would have been a kid. I would have been a pretty young kid, but they had that yard where the dog was. I know where that is.
Yeah. And so did you ever go inside to see if Darth Vader was in there?
I never did.
No.
But I have been near the park. They've preserved it, the backlot park thing. It's famous for this, and there's a little sign out there and stuff. So if you're ever in Salt Lake, we'll go over there and check it out.
We should totally go over and check it out. And I've been trying to rack my brain today. You know how they do like Inception kind of things in movies? I was trying to remember if they ever there had any video baseball games in that. Was that like supposed to set place during the 50s or the 80s? But it felt like the 50s. Now I can't remember. It's been 60s. So long since I've seen the Sandlot.
I think I want to say early 60s that was set in. A period piece.
Period piece. They were doing that whole, that's right, because they had the whole narration thing. It had what's his face doing the narration. What's his face?
I don't know, but Dennis Leary was in it. He was the dad.
Dennis Leary. No, it was his, what's his face from the movie with the Close Encounters, right? That's
Richard Dreyfuss. Is that who we're talking about?
Does he do the narration?
Remember. I know that Richard Dreyfuss did the narration for Stand By Me. Is that what you're thinking of?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
You might be thinking of that. They all roll together. Right. They all roll together, dude. They're all the same. Coming of age boy
movies.
And everybody
out there who is thinking, yeah, that's right. That's right. You were wrong, too.
Yeah, you were wrong also. It's a coming of age genre of the time. Okay? That's when we lived.
It was.
Brian and I grew up in that stuff. Anyway, we're going to talk about baseball games of the 8 and 16-bit era, and we're going to do that today. But before all that, I do have to say this. After playing, I was going to bring it down so I could show you. So my Amernick has got this problem. Not a problem.
Uh-oh.
There's a little piece, I think I mentioned it before. There's a little piece of plastic floating around in there. Yeah. And I haven't dropped it or broken it or anything. It's just, I'm sure it just came from manufacturing and finally just chipped off. And it's probably, and I can tell it's plastic. And it's a tiny little thing, no effect on anything. The game, everything runs great, no issues, but I can hear it rattling around. See, and you're fine. And you can kind of hear the, you can hear the triggers when you shake it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not that. It's like an actual little piece of something inside there. So I'm, don't know what to do. If I'm going to open it, I'm scared is what I'm saying.
Open it. Open it. It put it on video so we can laugh at you when you can't put it back together.
Well, what if I don't have the right screwdriver? I got to get a better screwdriver
set. Oh, chick. It's just, it was at like a T7. What is that? That
See, maybe, you know more than me already. Tell me what I need.
Yeah, this is like a little, maybe a T7 or something. I'll have to double check that to make sure that's what it looks like.
Let's see, the 35XX screws. Let's just see if there's anything online. There probably is.
Oh, I know there is this whole teardown things on this thing because you can replace the buttons and you can do the D-pad mod and everything.
Well, anyway, I'm going to figure that out. But I noticed it real bad during some baseball play because I played every baseball game I could get my hands on. Okay?
Yeah, I did too because we talked so big last week. It's like, oh, we're going to do the baseball games from the age 16 and 32. We got halfway through the 8-bit and said, oh, I'm screwed. There's no way.
We're not doing 32s. Yeah, take 32 off the list.
Yeah.
Because that was like already too much. I've forgotten just how prolific the sport was in your 8-bit, 16-bit days.
There was a total awakening. I did not realize, because I thought we all had this, we all kind of had the same experience with these games because they're all, most of them are similar with like different little takes here and there that make them kind of unique, but we all had the same experience. And so, yeah,
sort of,
yeah, I think it's fine. So, I mean, yeah, whenever I asked people what they played, man, it went everywhere. There was people suggesting different games.
Oh, left and right. There's so many, and there's some I'd never heard of prior to this. So I tried to check those out. The one I meant to check and couldn't find anywhere was Dusty Diamonds All-Star Softball.
That is the best one.
That's what I keep hearing. I hear it's really good.
Yeah, I loved it.
That's a freaking softball game, for hell's sakes, for shit's sakes.
For shit's sakes, for darn sakes.
I mean, I like softball just fine, but I don't remember Dusty Diamonds All-Star Softball.
I didn't know it at all. T6, by the way.
T6? Oh, T6 screw?
I just put my little T6 in there.
It's like a T6, just like a T6. T6,
baby!
All right, I'll fix that. But anyway, I just noticed it rattling a lot while I was playing all these baseball games, and my wife's like, why are you playing all these baseball games? And I said, we got a show about these, babe. We got to do every damn one of these, and we're trying to
do this, babe. Look out, babe.
So between you and I, we probably played a lot of them. The one thing you probably aren't going to see on this list today is like there's some 3DO stuff that I think is very good.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about those. We could.
No, and honestly, the 8 and 16-bit stuff that I'm talking about is really just the NES and the, you know,
SNES, Genesis.
Just Nintendo and Sega was really all I had time for. So we're definitely going to miss a few games.
Yeah.
And you're definitely going to write in.
People are going to write in and have their favorites that we missed. And that's fine.
Yeah.
I totally encourage it. But the Neo Geo game, baseball game, let me just find this real quick, game. I think it's called Neo Geo Baseball Stars 1 and 2. Okay. It's very good. And I recommend it. They also had the best version of Super Baseball 2020, which was the futuristic robot one. But it did the whole, hey, you need more quarters because you didn't throw the ball well enough. Whereas the Super NES and Genesis versions of that game, which were also made by SNK, didn't have all the, you know, it wasn't treated as an arcade game with quarters in it. So we're not counting it today, but it's a big deal. It's a good game.
Right.
Brian, what'd you do this week? You did some stuff, retro stuff this week before we get to our main subject.
Absolutely. So I finally ran into it, Scott. We were talking about before about the many remote controls that I have. I have too many remote controls. Well, I realized I had a problem. Well, probably before now, but I finally did it. I finally bought the same thing twice.
Oh, no. Project Gotham Racing twice. Why?
Yeah, Project Gotham Racing. I don't remember why I picked it up the first time. But I had this one.
Well,
I
had a fan recommend it, right? Somebody was saying, "Oh, you got to get
exactly." I had this one in my collection, and I was at the thrift store.
Yeah,
and I saw it, and I was like, "Oh yeah, we was just talking about it the other week." I was like, "I had to pick that up," and I did, and so I picked up this one, you know. And then I came home, and it was the same as this one, and I was like, "Okay, Brian, you got to stop." But I also intentionally picked up a duplicate of The Princess Bride. And yeah, this is a VHS tape, right? We talked a little bit about pre-show about videotapes and that kind of stuff. And I picked up two. And the reason why is because they were like a quarter a piece. And the outsides looked exactly the same. One's a little more dirty, of course. But otherwise, they looked exactly the same, label and everything. The inside, the tapes looked different. One of them had a sticker on them. One of them had like been manufactured at the place. Like it was stamped with like white ink or something. So I have two 13-inch VCRs TVs. Mm. And I'm going to put these side by side and see if there's any difference.
Okay. Well, now that you've done it.
Why, Brian? Why? I don't know.
Well, because you did it. You may as well do it since you did it. You know, you bought it.
Right, right.
So do it.
I spent the whole 50 cents. I've got to make content out of it, right?
Right. I'm with you.
What does 50 cents worth of content look like? Like that. That's how it looks.
That's what it looks like. That's how it works. You've done yourself and the world a service. Okay.
I've done something.
Definitely done something. That's pretty funny, though. I wondered when this would happen, because you knew with all this retro stuff you've been buying, there was no way this was going to last forever where you didn't dupe or accidentally buy two of the same thing or something.
Exactly. So if you're out there and you're listening and you're like, oh, I have a perfect system for how I keep from getting duplicates, let me know. I'm sure it's going to involve me cataloging everything and putting them in a big spreadsheet of some sort, but I don't want to hear that. I want you to tell me that there's a magic camera app that you take the picture and it puts in a thing, and then whenever you take a picture again, it doesn't let you buy the same thing again.
Yeah, I'm sure that that's the way it'll work.
But maybe I'm putting it out there.
Yeah,
who knows? Maybe by some miracle. I know it's not. I know I have to use a stupid Google Sheet, but that. And also, just as each week when we do our little show and tell part here, I do like to show what I may have.
Hardball 94.
I went through my carts, and this was the only baseball game I had on hand. Was Hardball 94 for the Sega Genesis, and it's running behind me right now on one of the CRTs.
Nothing wrong with Hardball 94. This was a Sega sports thing, right?
It was. This is actually an official Sega thing, and it's also got the major league players. So it's signed with the MLBPA, and we're going to talk about that a good bit today, with whether it's been signed with the major league, because it could be signed with MLB, which you usually see, but there's also the Players Association.
Right.
They have an agreement, and there's individuals that have agreements, and so it gets complicated.
It gets complicated and hairy and expensive. There was a point, though, when you using funny arcade names for characters instead of their real names in the sport, whether it be Tecmo Bowl or one of these baseball games, it became not cool.
Yeah.
Or how's a better way of putting that? It became not copacetic. The players wouldn't allow it. And so what happened is EA and others started saying, no, just license it. And now it's expensive and nobody else can compete in here because we've got to have a lot of money to do this.
And so you ask yourself, the major league baseball players, those guys are smart. I know we're not going to discuss necessarily unions, but we are going to discuss players uniting and getting together and making sure they're not screwed over, because when you start getting to the digital realm of carrying things over to other forms of entertainment that you probably didn't even foresee. It's like, you know, when a lot of these players first started for video games, like in the, you know, really started hitting, you know, those guys there in the 80s and stuff probably had no clue. Most of them.
No, they didn't.
Some
know.
Of them probably had a clue.
Some
and
did,
so,
but rare.
Yeah.
Right?
It's important if you're a public figure to make sure that you're protecting yourself in all different angles. Otherwise, you'll miss out on income, people making money on your face.
That's right.
And
well,
your talent.
We'll talk about it now as we dive deep into the 8 and 16-bit era of baseball games.
Shall we play a game?
This was a very popular time for sports gaming in general. I think in some ways, Brian, after this experience, I think it may have peaked during
you
that
think
time.
That, you think it has peaked?
I think that sports games, let's call it mid-90s at the crescendo,
right,
would be as good as they've ever been. And I don't mean that new stuff is bad, because there's plenty of good examples of new sports games that are good, and one in particular we'll talk about later that captures that era pretty well as a modern game. But whether it was football, hockey, baseball, whatever, it didn't matter. I think this stuff has never really been better than then. Like graphics, better graphics, better voice, better, you know, play-by-play, all the physics. I mean, yes, you can make arguments for all of those things. I'm not saying that those aren't big innovations. I'm just saying core gameplay, we peaked in like 95.
I think arcadification for most of us people playing video games who are not diehard, insert sports name here, the arcadification part of it peaked for us. Everything else is simulation, right? So we had in the early years, we had arcade-ish and they were trying to do a little simulation. And now you have a lot of simulation with a little bit of arcade play. Mm-hmm. But for most of the general audience, people just picking up something to play it, they like the arcade experience.
Yeah, they like the arcadification of sports. And I did, especially. That's my favorite era for golf and football and this and hockey. And I mentioned all those before, and I love them all from that time. Very first baseball game, or video game baseball that I ever played was something in an arcade that used a ball, like a missile command ball. But I don't remember what game that was. I just remember liking it.
I used to love, like, some of my favorite little mini games, like almost pinball, but not quite. I don't remember seeing those little arcade pinball light kind of games where you'd be playing baseball. And it's just basically, you know, a pinball machine, but with nothing on it except for
a bat,
a couple of places to hit bat and a couple of places to hit.
Yeah. You had to be, instead of even having two bats, like two flippers, you'd have one fat bat that would just swing.
Yeah. Fat bat.
Yeah. That stuff was cool. So it is, I think it is one of the oldest sports that people tried to replicate in arcades or, you know, back in the old timey days, penny arcades, where, you know, they would make a little physical representation of that or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that would continue. I mean, it continues on till today, right? There's really one big player now in professional baseball video games, and that's Sony with the show, MLB The Show. And MLB The Show is an amazing game, but it's huge and complicated and full of modes, and it's mostly sim-based. And yes, you can dumb some of it down or have kind of arcade experiences, but it really is aimed at like hardcore baseball aficionados who aren't there just for a quick good time. I'll talk about Super Mega Baseball later because I think that is the spiritual successor to the things we're talking about today. But let's start with baseball. 1985, NES. You got the characters and design by Shigeru Miyamoto.
We know that guy. He's done a lot of things.
Miyamoto. We know him. And even, you know, the music in this game and everything is very like... it's a Nintendo game for
hell's sakes. It feels so Nintendo. You could throw Mario out here in a hurry, couldn't
Listen
you?
To this.
Not a problem.
Like this sort of noise.
Yeah.
Catch it. Oh, he's out. Pew, pew, pew. No voice. But very much, you know, of that era. This was released as one of 17 games at the NES test market launch in Manhattan. And despite having no MLB affiliation whatsoever.
None.
It was demoed on the huge screen. And that was played by actual MLB players. Three million copies of this made the rounds. That's a big sales number back then.
They not a lot of competition in 1985. I think started in 83 for the Famicom in Japan. But we used to talk about the North American releases here on the Play Retro Show. And it was 1985. And man, baseball. That tells you how the market was. What you want to name it? Exactly
baseball.
What it is.
Just baseball.
Baseball, because ain't nobody else going to be competing with you.
It's they did it with the Nintendo hockey game was just a Nintendo ice hockey. So why not?
Right.
You know, and that was also a great game. I love that game.
And I'll tell you, I don't think between the 8 and 16 bit universes that we moved that far from baseball. I mean, we still have the kind of the top down isometric view here, and you got a batter who has to stand in like a box and you can kind of move him around the box. If you hit the, I think it's either the A button or the B button. There's only two on the NES.
Right.
If you hit it one time quickly, you'll go into a bunting stance. And if you swing full, you will either strike, hit, you know, or foul ball, whatever will happen.
Use the D-pad to say if you were playing on in the field or you were the you weren't hitting, you were pitching.
You're in the field. Right.
Use your D-pad as points of the baseball diamond. So you had, if you wanted to throw it to third base, you'd still hold down B or A. I can't remember. But you would have to be holding down you'd have to hold down left button or left D-pad to go to third base.
Right.
Same thing with stealing, and there was other ways to do stuff, but
Yeah, still you could get off. Yeah, and the outfield all moved in unison. So if you had if the ball went, you know, to the left field, you'd cruise. All your guys would cruise out that way. They all run the same direction, which kind of makes sense, right? It's kind of a cheat though, because it's like you just kind of move in the whole outfield, and if any one of those pixel points hits the ball and picks it up and throws it back to whoever, that's how that works.
Yeah, that was just the way of it. But it was a fun game. I had this. I owned this and played it a lot with my friends, and it was great. Good time.
Yeah. A lot of people on this, if 3 million copies got sold worldwide. So, I mean, I think 2 million, though, got, or something like half of that was in Japan for the Famicom. But then later on, once it hit in the NES and here in America, we love ourselves some baseball. Do you know that, Scott? That
we do. We're fans. America, it's America's pastime, but Japan loves it even more than we do.
They've got there, haven't they? They sure do.
Freaking, they love it, dude. Some of some of the coolest players even to come over in the MLB came from Japan. Like, there is an amazing baseball heritage over there, and I love that they seem to make their baseball games with the same fervor that we might.
Yep. Fervor.
Fervor. How about this one? So now people are like hungry for teams and names. They want to root for whoever. Like the Red Sox.
Root for the home team. You want some Peanuts and Cracker Jacks, and you want dadgum, but you want to root for the home team.
That's right. So along comes RBI Baseball, the first one. This is from Tengen, right? I believe
it is Tengen. And by the way, we're not going in chronological order.
No. This is more like importance order for us. I mean, and even that's not exactly accurate. Like we say, there's too much of this shit. There's tons of it.
Just too much, man.
Yeah, it's a lot. So it's going to be what it is. But anyway, this game came along and offered a little bit more of a realistic take. Both the graphical presentation, they look more like players, a little less googly. They weren't aiming for sim, obviously, on an 8-bit system. But they were, you know, a lot closer to maybe what you would call a simulation versus what had come before. And this one is considered by a lot of you out there. When they reached out and talked to us, a lot of people told me this was their game. They'd love this one.
Yeah, because this one was the first to use real names, right?
Yep.
Real player names. So, but without the team logo. So we talked about earlier about Major League MLB versus the MLBPA. The Players Association had an agreement, but the Major League itself did not have. So no stadium names, no team names. Mm-mm. Get out of here.
Nope, but it had player names, and it had, we just watched one. It had replays, which the other game did not have, so you could watch your play again. I don't know why you'd want to. It's the same. I mean, you literally just watched it, so I don't know why you care, but whatever.
I was wrong. That was the first one. Are we watching the first one or three? This is RBI Baseball 3.
This is RBI.
Right?
Oh, you know what? This is RBI 3, so this is a little later in the series.
Right. So this actually does have the teams in this one.
Right.
Yes. Okay, I do.
That makes sense.
Now.
Yeah. So that game progressed. Yeah. Obviously, they got better every time they put out a new one. But the RBI series, let's call it, which is what we have listed here, is pretty awesome. It's a good little game. I mean, it's a basic 8-bit looking graphics.
It's very solid. But I like how they arranged the graphics on this one, because once again, it got that kind of isometric top down view. You're looking behind from the batter. And in this case, they have two columns. They have columns on the left and the right-hand side that represents a little closer look at the first base and third base runners. So when you're the pitcher or the hitter, you can kind of watch. You can lead off a base, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
So that was a little bit different take on it. They were trying to tweak the graphics to make it a little more playable.
Now let's talk
but
about
it's still slow as mud. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, slow as mud is a great way of putting it. These games are not quick. All right. The 16-bit era would come in and go, look how speedy we are. But up till then, whoo boy.
Yeah, take your time.
Settle you in for some slow ass business, because that's what you were going to get. Now, here's one I never played, but wanted to, and also didn't play it this week because I couldn't find I couldn't find the cartridge.
No, you should hit me up. I played this one and I have the cartridge.
Oh, well, then tell us a little bit about Cyber Stadium Series Base Wars, because I remember this was like the beef back then. People were like, dude, it's like robots, and it's like you get to play future sport and you can kill each other with your robots and whatever.
You pretty much nailed it. Same year as it's 1991 on the NES. Again, we have a lot of NES ball games, by the way. But this is supposed to be the 24th century, and you're playing as robots. And you got it. You can play there. The, your teams are made up of cyborgs, tanks, flybots, and motorcycles. That right now that we're watching a motorcycle fire off a bullet to the hitter. And yeah, it's just as crazy as you would think. It's just basically regular baseball, yep. But with a twist.
But with a twist, so with robot twist. All right, just a
right. You
bit
get
of robot.
You get to choose your locations. I like to play in space. And when you when there's contested things that happen, like let's say you hit the ball or something, you can go into combat mode. That's right. You get yep. a little bit of arcade combat right in the middle of your regular old baseball game. And this one looked really good too, by the way, compared to other things. We just watched the other game. It was very simple. Same year. This one's got a lot of detail in the robots.
A lot of detail. You're right. The art detail. I mean, the animation's not like crazy, but it's a lot more than the last one. And the speed is so much faster. It's just like.
So much. Because you're a robot, right? You're the guy that's hitting right now is a blue tank. So you're blue, red teams, right?
Here's the fight. Yep. Here's the battle. So they kind of have these intermittent like hockey fights kind of.
Yeah. You have a little combat. You get in there and each one of them has their own little skills and stuff. Mm-hmm. Got a tank versus a motorcycle. No, a unicycle of some sort.
Yeah.
And they're really going to town. Kind of looks like RoboCop versus somebody. They were trying to fight for that base.
Yeah.
Right. Second base.
It's all over second base. So it's 100% rad, right? This is 90s ass shit.
Yes.
This is like, whoa.
Exactly.
Robots, exactly. No way. And it was a lot like that football game that Atari put in arcades called, forgot the name. Oh, I forgot the name. It was a good game, though, but it was a lot like this. You would fight with the little football guys. It was all, the football game, the ball was a bomb that would eventually blow up.
Oh, yeah. Here you like got like some kind of like laser ball or something that's always flashing, which is good because it helps you see where the ball is at. But once again, at his heart, it's a baseball game. You got to put your player, position your player in the batter box. You got to get him right over top of the over the base so that you can take a good swing. Yeah, I'm always an idiot. I suck at all these baseball games because I can't read them very well.
Yeah.
I can't read what the pitcher's about to pitch me, and I'll swing at anything. I'm just constantly swinging at stuff and nope, strike, you're out. And every once in a while I get a good one and it'll soar. Yes. Home run.
Now we'll give Sega a little bit of fun here. Reggie Jackson baseball from 1987. We'll go back a few years. All right.
You gotta get your Reggie bars out right now. Come on, go get your Reggie bars.
Look at his face. I just got to share this with people. Look at him. Oh man, he is going to murder that effing ball.
This is 8-bit Master System, 1987. And yes, it is. If you're not watching the video feed, it is as fantastic as you can imagine. Reggie Jackson has got his black baseball bat all cranked up. He's got his Sega blue hat on and he is just whamming it out of the stands. This man got to sign an agreement and he got his name not only on a Reggie bar, candy bar. Did you ever eat one of those?
Reggie I knew of them, but I never had one. Were they good or were they gross?
I don't know. They recently re-released them. I know I've eaten them before, but the heck if I can remember. Anybody know in the chat room, if you guys get a chance, what's the bar like? It says it's a bar, but everything I saw when he was eating it, I watched the commercial. If you want to look at that commercial.
No way, dude.
Oh, there's a Reggie Jackson commercial. We probably should look that up.
Yeah.
Reggie Jackson, Reggie Bar
from
the 80s.
I'm going to find this here. Reggie Bar commercial.
Reggie Bar. And apparently re-released them recently, and you can get them for, it's a good hefty price. But man, let me tell you about the Master System coming in strong, securing a name. Like Reggie Jackson, so some name recognition. Mm-hmm. You can throw fastball, curves, or Reggie's signature moves. And you're supposed to be able to predict the pitches. I don't know exactly what that's supposed to happen, but I sucked at it.
Across the board, I'm going to just say this about everything I played, and I think almost everything we're reviewing today. Pitch projection and predicting when a pitch was going to do what it was going to do.
Right.
It baffles me still. I don't really know. Only the slow, like once in a while, there'll be a slow one. And I'm like, oh, I get it. The slow one is like this. But most of the time, it's, I don't know where I'm hitting. And part of it is I don't have these manuals, so I'd have to go look those up and all that. But
yeah. And it's coming right at you. So there's no real big hints on that kind of stuff. It's something you have to learn over time because you are typically looking behind the hitter. And you've got to, and since it's not true 3D, You've got to kind of judge when the ball crosses an imaginary line and know when you can swing.
Yeah.
It just takes practice. And every time I started a new baseball game, it was always different. And it was just such a pain.
Yeah.
It was just trying to figure it out. And I was constantly striking out.
It but is
eventually
cool,
you get it.
It is cool. I'm going to
so
give
you, cool.
I want to give you guys a taste of this commercial. Okay. This is the Reggie Bar commercial. I think this is late 70s. Let me make sure we got some good volume here. I think it's pretty loud. All right. Here we go.
Reggie Jackson. An outstanding World Series. 3 home runs in one game.
Now that was a day I'll never forget. And it helped me to get my own candy hit. Reggie, with a rich caramel center, lots of fresh roasted peanuts, and a super chocolatey covering. Reggie, the candy they named after me.
The covering? Chocolate covering?
Reggie, you taste pretty good.
He seemed surprised. Why did he seem surprised?
That's the first time he got a taste of it. And yeah. He put his name on it. He's
that's not bad. That's not the worst thing I've put in my mouth.
I love that idea. It came in like a large peppermint patty size package, and it was orange. It had Reggie's name on the big on the front of it. Him hitting, a home run, and but it looked really good because that he pulled that apart and had all those peanuts and caramel and covered in chocolate. Yeah. Oh God, I want one right
I'd
now.
I'd eat it right. Jesus. Yeah, I'd eat it right now. Are you kidding me?
Right, I'd eat it right now because the order is one of they're super stupid expensive. Yeah. I saw them on Amazon, and there was a couple of places that I saw that were like specialty candy stores. They weren't as expensive, but I was like, yeah, when will that gear next millennium?
I don't know. When's that we'll happening? See. Maybe never.
Right. When's that happening?
I love that even has, that anyone even knows what the frick's going on with that, that's even a thing in people's minds.
Right. You think anybody was sitting there in 1987 with their, it's like coming, they're getting home, like, okay, I'm going to, it's got my Reggie bar. I got my Reggie baseball game on my Sega Master System. Yeah. All right, let's get this started. And they just sit down and play the home run derby part of Reggie Jackson's baseball.
You just described a pretty good night. That sounds all right.
That sounds all right, doesn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't turn that down. That's a date I'd go on. That's great.
Yeah. And this is endorsed by Reggie Jackson and probably nobody else. I think this one dealt with stats, too. Hmm. We haven't really talked about this a lot, but stats become really important in some of these games. They're all these in the 8-bit era all have player versus CPU or two-player. I don't think any of the ones we've talked about so far has the watch mode. Mm-hmm. There started being games, baseball games, where you could let the CPU run against the CPU.
Right.
So you
they
could
don't
run
have that.
Through a season.
Yeah.
Right. Some of these had seasons, some of them had tournaments, but that really gets outside of the arcadification of what we value.
Right. It's kind of what John is doing with his Frog Wrestling. John Jagger from the Core Show. He's never even played that game yet. He's not controlled a single character.
Oh, he has. I did not know that. No. I knew he was doing the competition. I didn't know he didn't.
Like hundreds of, he's already spent 100 or more hours, but all he does is make characters and then have them fight each other. That's it.
Right.
And
I know a lot of people did that with the football games and stuff like the Maddens. You would let it predict who was going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's so much fun to think about because, I mean, sure, you could write a program with no graphics that would just, number crunch a bunch of stats until it does its thing. But no, why would you want to do that when you can watch in real time?
You can
watch
the
computer go head to head.
Totally agree.
Yeah, crazy.
Now, let's move to one that I hadn't heard of until this week, and it's Dusty Diamond's All-Star Softball. And the reason that we're choosing this one partly is because I'd like to have a little weird one that no one heard of, right? I feel like this is kind of an unknown, but there were plenty of you out there who said, you must talk about that game. It was my life as a kid. All I wanted to do was play Dusty Diamond's All-Star Baseball. So good news, or softball rather. Good
news.
Right.
This is the only softball game we got going. But
yeah, we only have, there's only the one, right? There is no other.
Yeah. There's none that we talk about.
I'm not even sure they're in the history. Well, I'm sure there's something, but.
Oh, there's got to be some more softball games out there, right?
Do you think there's I'm trying to think. Like, did EA ever make one? Did they?
EA's Hard Softball. Coming.
I don't think they ever did. But it was this, like, chibi, chunky character looking thing. Look at these guys. They're the dopey as hell looking to me. But it's
I knew
fun.
Nothing about this going into this past week, and I am so glad the community reached out and told us to play this one because, oh my God, I might have played this one longer than the rest of them.
It's so the fundamentals are so good,
right?
It just plays great, and it feels like you're sandlotting it. You're out there in some not really, a, you know, look, they're just like kids, bunch of bobblehead kids.
And they're not even. And they got weeds. I don't know if these are actually kids or not. They look like some otherworldly beings.
They're pretty cursed. They're cursed.
They're pretty cursed. Yeah.
They're real ugly.
Yeah.
This is NES, by the way, 1990. And it's got some interesting twists. I think this is worth seeking out. It's a weird ass game that's funner than funner.
It should
more
be.
Fun.
Yeah, it is more fun. And I appreciate every level of this because it's not just kids. You also have weird looking zombie looking creatures and stuff. And this weird fun thing. And in between, instead of showing you like a scoreboard, they got like a bunch of cartoon looking character standing around like the old style boards where you have somebody actually go out there and flip over a wooden piece that would have another number on it. And it's so much, and it's so way, silly and so much fun.
The way the fielders run or the batter, doesn't matter, is inspired. Watch these guys.
It's inspired.
It feels like I'm watching a South Park episode, honestly.
Right.
And you know what, I would play the living shit out of a South Park baseball game. I would do.
Oh, God, I would totally love that. You're not wrong. I love the cart games. Those are some of my favorites. So that would be very reminiscent of this. But I looked up, by the way, and I only see Dusty Diamonds. I think you're right. That was the only softball game. I don't see any 16-bit softball games. There was only one other softball game during this, the 8-bit, and that was Softball Tengoku. And it was a Famicom game. So I don't know, maybe something similar to what we're looking at here. Maybe, I don't know, but wow. Yeah, but a lot of these characters had unique abilities, so it made it a little more fun, but it was still just the same old thing. It's baseball.
Yeah. It's baseball. The formula wasn't going to change much. It was mostly about feel, like making us feel good. And I just like their approach here to say,
you could overlay Nintendo's, you could overlay baseball, the first one.
Yeah.
From 1985. You could overlay it on top of this, and it's the same game.
Kind
of,
yeah. Functionally, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I just like them stepping out of the norm, though, you know, and not trying to say, well, look at all these official looking ball players. It's like, no, get weird.
You'll find no MLB or MLBPA endorsement on this game. You might find Charles Schultz maybe doing like someone. Yeah, it's like, yeah, he's a bunch of cartoon characters.
He might do that. That's true.
Yeah.
I tried to find a more modern softball. There's not even that. Like, I know there's rugby. EA had a rugby game. Softball video games are rare, dude.
Yeah, right? Super rare.
Yeah. Let's see. Let me just check real quick, make sure there's nothing in the 360 era. Here we go.
I'm curious if there's not. Yeah, like, you think.
Oh, here it is.
Maybe.
Okay, there were a couple. Dusty Diamonds is considered the best.
Yeah.
There was a Sammy Sosa Softball Slam.
Oh, they just wanted to do that for all the S's.
Yeah.
Softball Slam. Sammy Sosa Softball Slam. Is that what you just said?
Yep. Right? I know that's why they're doing it. There's also this thing called Basic Softball, which is a phone thing. I don't count those.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't count.
And then Wii Sports had a softball mode in it. So there's that.
Okay.
Okay. But rare.
Skits,
rare.
By the way.
Yeah.
Right. Skits, by the way, says the game lore, it takes place in Mudville from the Casey at Bat poem. Are you saying is that what you're saying?
Is that
in there,
true?
Skits? That's the Dusty Diamonds thing?
Did I skip a screen? Because I don't remember that.
That's even, if that's true, that, or is that just humor? Because I love it either way. If it's not true, I want it to be true. If it is true, even better.
Oh, I'm desperate for it to be true.
Right.
I feel like I don't know.
That's what it says in the manual confirmed skits. All right.
Let's dive into the 16-bit era, though, and let's start with Super Baseball Simulator 1.000.
Oh, that's the perfect game, right? Is that a baseball thing?
That is, because if you got a batting average of 1,000, I guess. I don't know.
Right. Is that right? Yeah, I think that's right.
I didn't play this week. So did you get a chance with this one?
I did play this one. I think this is actually the first one I played, oddly enough. What'd I don't know why I went first with this one. I think I thought I remembered it. And so you can play like an exhibition or season. So we're getting a little more simulation-like than arcade-y, right? Is that 16-bit? You would expect that.
Yeah, right? There were jumps in that direction. There were also some good arcadey stuff in the 16-bit gen, which we'll get to. And by the way, my favorite of all time is in the 16-bit generation. It's on the Super Nintendo. And you may have already caught the hint at the top of the show what it might be, but we'll get to that.
There may be hints.
There may be hints. But this, yeah, this is a little bit more like, I don't know if you were a nerd about stats and...
Yeah. And character. We got ultra plays too in this one, apparently. Yeah. That you were there, we just saw them loading up their teams with ultra points for your ultra plays. Mm-hmm. Over the top special moves.
Yeah. And this also is, you know, there's a lot of games, a lot of baseball. This there were a lot of games on the SNES anyway that did this, but baseball games like to put Super in front of everything. So yeah, this is one of those. Because it was, of course, the Super Nintendo. May as well call it Super Baseball Simulator.
That's it. And you could, and here you could watch, right? I think it was only one game maybe in the first, the 8-bit that we could watch along. But this one starts, like we had talked about, doing more. Do you want to play it? Since we're doing seasons and stuff, you can watch teams play. You can choose all the teams.
Yep.
You know, there's, you can look at your standings and everything else. This. But I think now that I think, remember this, and I think it seems a little more arcadey than that. I think it was just the start menu stuff. Matter of fact, they're showing a lot of start screens because I think I did the same thing. It took me forever to actually get started. This is when we're, you know, choosing a bunch of stuff and it's like, oh, we need to change up this guy and move that guy. And it just takes forever to get started.
Yeah.
And
I'm like, my only problem with it baseball? Is the visuals are really generic. They don't jump out at me at all. I didn't play it, so I can't really, again, speak to the details. But it looks like an early, hey, it's 16-bit era. Here's an early one of these. I don't know.
Right.
Just not a lot of personality.
I kind of like the look of it because it's kind of generic, but it kind of, I don't know, it's got kind of a mood to it. Is that a word for a baseball game?
Yeah, why not?
It's got a mood, but it's still just the same baseball game. It's behind the bases, it's behind the batter. When you hit, it goes in the air, and we switch to a top-down three-quarter view. There, he's supposed to use those ultra plays.
He didn't do it, though. He gave up.
He's just not fired up. No, he's just threatening. Yeah,
he threatened it, and he backed off because he's a puss. Oh, there we go. That's a good hit. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, this is the one. That's right. So when I was looking up video for this, this is the one that did. It was like simmy in some ways.
Yes.
Especially in the setup. And then when you'd play, you could hit it hard enough to knock a player all the way back to the rear wall.
Yeah, that's fun.
So it's a weird combo, right? It's like
that's the kind of stuff you want to do. Now, this is, I think, when I got to the 16-bit era, this is when I started asking my friends to play with me. That was when it was more fun because playing against the AI started getting kind of smart by this point. And it felt like I was always losing to the AI. And I remember wanting to play with friends more and more because their skills were like my skills. And we would both suck.
Yeah.
And I might would win.
Yeah, joint
and
suckage.
I could laugh at them.
Yeah, you want to be able... Look, if video games are good for anything, it's for laughing at your stupid friends.
You know? That's right. You didn't know I could do that, did you? You didn't know I could do my ultra play, you know, heat up and then shoot your player halfway across the screen. And you want to look over at your friend and go,
take that, you jerk.
That coming, did you?
Butthole.
What do you mean you're going home? Wait, stay. We'll play some more. Come on, I'll let you win.
Mom will bring out the Captain Crunch with the crunch berries in it.
With the all berries that we made at home on our own.
Do you remember? We did that too. We would separate the berries into like a big Ziploc and then eat those by themselves.
Yeah. We was doing it years before you, Captain Crunch.
Good Lord. I forgot
Nobody
about
wants
that.
Nobody wants that yellow junk. What is this, where all the vitamins are at? Get out of here.
Get out of here with your, vitamin yellow.
Gross.
Oh, that's great. All right. We are now going to talk about a game called Super Bases Loaded. This is Bases Loaded, people would call it. And Loaded was very popular, even though it had a super in front of it. This had a unique behind the pitcher view, which you will see in a lot of games going forward. Not all, but some. A lot of weird angles, different, like a very different attempt at graphically what these games could look like. I enjoyed this one quite a bit.
I hated this one.
You could really you didn't like this one.
This one made me mad. If it's the one I'm thinking about, whereas behind the, you know, some of the things are behind the pitcher. I'm like, what? What am I doing? It took me for years to learn how to do it from behind the hitter. And now you're going to switch it up and
it is,
have to rotate around.
I mean, it
around.
Does make you, yes, it changes it up. You're not wrong. I think I respected it today or this week because I was like, oh, somebody tried something very different. And so that really jumped out at me. But yeah, look, it's very, very different. Look at this.
It rotates around. I don't think it's the only one that did it. They did this more and more going forward, but
I don't think this one
as egregious as the other one.
Yeah. It's funny though, because that view is the default for things like MLB The Show or Super Mega Baseball or any of the new stuff, like current gen things. They all do that weird side strange pitcher view. This one right here where he's pitching it on an angle. So it's very common.
Yeah. And it looks fine when you're watching it. But man, if you're actually the player, you're like, oh, how do I do this? And also that catcher was making me mad because I was trying to figure out, he always has the same animation. He always goes down. He shakes you off. If you look really close, and this is what you do a lot in more in later games, you actually, you know, you communicate with the catcher and you kind of clue him in what you're going to be throwing and this kind of stuff. But here, the catcher just always, he does a couple of shakeoffs, and then he lowers his hand down, and it confuses me every time. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, am I supposed to do something different?
Mm-hmm.
No.
It's also not very fast. It's kind of a slow one, you know? Slow
balls.
It's
just like in real baseball.
But I mean, running. Even like the pitches are a little slow. The throwing somebody out just like takes freaking, I don't know. It's a weird choice. It's fine. This is, again, kind of early.
Yeah, and this is Jaleco, right? The
Jaleco, yeah. Is it Jaleco? Yeah, Jaleco.
Is it Jaleco or Jaleco? I always say Jaleco. I'm probably saying it wrong.
I don't remember.
Oh, that guy. That's right. You can. This is the slide thing. Oh, that's right. You can. In this one, of course, we're looking at three buttons or four buttons. SNES.
Yeah.
And you got like some sliding. So if the ball gets close to the catcher that is trying to make a play for the ball, you can do a little slide action. I don't think the runners do, but I think the people in the outfield can.
Yeah, the audience looks like vomit.
Audience vomit. It is just not the best.
It's nasty. And like graphically, this thing's got problems, but I respect their desire to go different and not same. You know,
not samey. That was impressive because we saw a lot of sameness in the 8-bit, except for the softball stuff, but a lot of sameness.
Wait. Are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Now, one game series, when I was in my Genesis crowd, was considered the bomb. Everybody thought this was the best it was ever going to get. It's all I heard of. 32X had a version. I had I had it on Sega CD. I had it on my Genesis. And that was the World Series Baseball series.
Here's where it's at right here, baby. World Series Baseball for the Sega Genesis.
And this is probably the most... It's not realistic isn't the right word. They were really aiming to duplicate what baseball was technically, visually.
If you were a baseball fan, finally you're getting the 28 MLB teams. Got the full season, full season mode.
All you got players from that
bunch
year.
Got a bunch of stats, and you go all the way up to the World Series. Finally. If you're a baseball fan, you can feel some love.
Listen to this voiceover. Hold on, I gotta turn that up.
This is the Sega Genesis audio.
I gotta turn that up and move it back. Hold on.
Welcome to the game between the Red Sox and the Braves.
Welcome to the River and the
I forgot about voice work.
Yeah, the voice work's amazing.
Of games.
It's amazing.
Announcers.
It is very animated. This has a very weird view because you barely see the batter. He's just kind of up there.
You're at the catcher's view, right? Maybe the umpire's view. I guess it's catcher
and umpire. You're right. It's very much that. But it was great for pitching. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. It was weird for batting. I didn't necessarily like how it felt batting. This game got better and better though. So like this first version is great and all, but I think I played all the way up through like 98 or 99 or something.
Yeah.
And it was a great
You're out.
That was a great game.
Really, it was a very good game. I remember this game. I remember playing that. I want to say I rented this game several times. And the series just gets better and better. This is one that just led off, like you'd said, into multiple games.
First one, I remember showing me how many miles per hour the pitches went. It's the first time I saw that.
Right. And the character sprites actually look like the players.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite things. So I was really starting to get into the sim part of much more realistic gaming, right?
For sure. Still fun, still snappy, you know. And right now, this is a time of Genesis planting their flag as the sports system.
Yeah.
They were the ones you went to for Madden, for this, for NHL. Like,
they're
yes, those
some
games.
Good deals with EA.
Exactly. Yeah. Those games were on the competing platforms. They were on the SNES, but they weren't. There was something special about how they ran here. It's a lot. You always talk about it. That this thing was so good at pushing sprites around. I think that was a big advantage when it came to like Twitch gaming of any kind, really.
Yeah. Looks good too. I never noticed that. So there's a lot of mechanics in these games. When you're playing the outfield, you either have the ball like in the Master System, Reggie's ball like was always on screen when you had the top down. So it would look really weird because the ball would come really high and almost like have like a flyout effect, like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle getting thrown to the screen or something. Or not the turtles. They threw the foot guys. Right. But anyway, I kind of come at you. Here, we had places where the ball would actually be above the camera view. And so they, in order to allow the outfielders to know where it's coming, you would see a shadow, but it was huge. It was a huge shadow. So I guess you would really notice it. It's much bigger than the ball. Almost like the ball was almost right in front of the sun.
Well, and it was, it was gameplay wise because it would only do that shadow when it was going out to you having to field the ball. So you could see it really well, because as soon as you started throwing it back, it had a tiny shadow again.
Right, right.
Which is just
so
freaking
I'm
weird.
Assuming that was intentional. Because like some of the games that I enjoyed the most were the ones that actually would put an X or something on the ground. Yeah. So you're like, oh, I need to get my player there. Because when you're talking about, if you're playing real baseball and you're out in a field somewhere, you can use your depth perception.
Right.
When you're playing a game like this, where it's 2D sprites, you need some help. You can't just go, good luck guessing where the ball's coming. Yep. You have to have a little bit of assist.
A little bit of help. Yeah. Baseball especially, I think. Even when I play MLB The Show, I dumb some of the semi crap down because I just want to have fun, you know?
Yeah, I'm here to have fun, man. I'm not here to, you know, I'm just not. I'm different about football, though. For some reason, I like to really take football serious. I don't know if it's because I had spent so many years learning all the rules.
Same, except for Mutant League Football. I'll play that because it's dumb. But but you're right. Most of the time, I would prefer a more, I don't know,
playing Madden, learning all the plays and stuff. Come on, Madden, you made it something different.
Learning how to spin and jump over shit and all that.
Yeah.
Brand new Madden game came out last week.
Oh, no, look at that.
Every year for Madden the last 100 years.
It's like they mean to do it.
There you go. Now, I'm going to mean to do something here. Check this out. My favorite 8-bit, 16-bit era baseball game is about to be told.
So it's one that went to the 8-bit systems and...
Nope, just 16s all. Just 16.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
But I'm going to give you a hint. It's right here.
This is Ken Griffey Jr. Let's play Major League Baseball.
There's my hint.
Is it Ken Griffey Jr.?
You know what?
That's quite the hint.
There are two Ken Griffey Jr. games. One is Major League Baseball featuring Ken Griffey Jr.
Okay.
And the other... Oh, this is an N64 video. I don't want to see that. The other is winning... Run? Yeah, Winning Run. Ken Griffey Jr.'s Winning Run.
Winning Run, okay.
Winning Run, I think, is the better game. Let me see if I can find it here.
It wins, right?
Well, it has more. Okay, we talk about Rare a lot on here. Rare made these games, and it shows. In fact, we talked about this, didn't we, on something?
We probably did.
Didn't we? Some other context. It was like, hey, remember...
We have no trouble talking about Rare around here.
Yeah, we like Rare software. Problems. But here we go. I got the right video. N64 had a version as well. There's only been three of these games ever made. But it had, here we go. The actual gameplay, I just thought, in Winning Run was so great. The animation is great. The pitch animation is great. The swing animation is great. It had a little bit of a like tilt and see somebody try to steal a base kind of thing going on. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get this guy to pitch so I can see him pitch. There we go. It's fast and slick. voices, guys going, freaking foul, whatever.
Oh, yeah, this is nice. It is beautiful.
You need to play this game, dude.
Yeah, this is nice. I like this. I like that, like you said, that this is true. Looks like it's using real 3D technology. Is this for the SNES?
SNES, so it's just using Mode 7 is all.
Mode 7? Okay, yeah. But it looks good.
Yeah, it looks real good. And
look at him choking up on that bat. Look at him. Whoa,
choking the bat. Now, the first game in the series, the first one, the Major League Baseball featuring him, with that guy I played earlier, this guy.
This is Ken Griffey Jr.
That guy.
Hi, Ken Griffey Jr.
The first game was a little more goofy, a little bit more stiff, not well animated. I think it was kind of a great first try. A lot of people even like it better, but I really like Winning Run of the two games.
Interesting.
And this is my favorite of any we're talking about this week.
I'm loading it up right now on my AmberNick RG35XX.
You should do that. As you can see, the crowd moves in this one. They actually look like a crowd. Oh, the ball gets like a streak, like a speed streak.
Trail, like behind it. Yeah. Yep. Oh yeah, like a motion blur kind of a thing.
Yep. Players are fun. Run fast. There's lots of really intense moments in it. I think this just proves Rare knows how to make video games. Really.
Yeah, they do.
This is hands down. I can't. It's not even close.
Right.
Of all of the classic games in our category today, and if you're listening at home and you want this my advice.
This is leagues ahead of that first introduction we had into the Super Baseball Simulator, which was very early on.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
This is more later in the life cycle of that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Nice. They had learned some things. They had mastered the system with no pun intended, Sega. Sorry about that. But it's still very fun. I still struggle with batting, but that's a me problem. I don't think it's the game's fault.
Your all-star game, your MLBs, you got your World Series, your challenges. I like this.
A bunch of modes. Oh, the only downside is this. The teams are represented. Uh-huh. Ken Griffey Jr. is in the game.
He's got his own.
But all the players are fake people except him.
Oh, is this that one that I was reading about that was like, okay, so this goes back to what we talked about earlier in the show, which is, better make sure you get the contract that that keeps your likeness and stuff away from the other people. Like your name, you can kind of protect that, but your likeness and your stats, all that stuff in here, they made these players look like the players. They just called them somebody else.
Yep.
That's a little bit dirty, if you ask me.
It's a little dirty, but it's also understandable because we're just learning. You know, we don't know. People didn't know then what was going on.
But that's what I'm saying. We did learn from that. We're like, that's dirty, dude. I should at least get, you know, something out of that. You should be, or at least play, at least you should be at least giving some money to the players association so that they can fund things like making sure the players have the right insurance and that kind of stuff. Even if people don't get direct payments, they should definitely be benefiting from them, right?
Yeah. And this also, by the way, I think the first time a umpire is animated.
Right.
I think it's the only time on the only one of these games where an ump like walks around, stands up, throws hand signals, says you're out, that kind of stuff. I don't think anything else in this list did that. It's a small thing, but I like it.
Have you ever been curious why sports games seem to typically usually price themselves a little bit higher than most other games? It's usually because of the licensing, because that's what you're paying for. That's part of the marketing, paying licensing fees to these different organizations.
It's almost always that.
And so you have to put that on the top of the game.
Yeah. They would sometimes do is they would claim, you know, they would say, oh, this features Mode 7, and it made you feel better about spending 10 extra bucks, even though that was for that was for licensing deals.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing.
It's totally
fine.
That's
a good thing. If you're making content off of, you know, off of somebody else, it makes sense to for them to benefit in some sort of way.
But I'm just saying, everybody give the award.
This is Ken Griffey Jr.
To Ken Griffey Jr. and his team. Or, you know, he had nothing to do with it.
I'm going
to
have a hard time arguing that point. I definitely think if you're talking about an overall experience, unless you have nostalgia for these things, this is probably one of the better experiences. It combines arcade and simulation pretty good.
It's a really good combination of those things. I will say that about it. There are some mentions, though, I want to make. We talked about it earlier. Super Baseball 2020. It was based on the game that we mentioned earlier from from Neo Geo.
Right.
And it
didn't come out in 2020.
It did not. It wanted to, but it didn't.
It existed in 2020, right? I mean, that was the idea, that it was supposed to be
set in the year 2020. Correct.
In 2020, even though it came out in like 91.
Yeah, and it couldn't have been more wrong about the year.
how things would be.
Yeah, they had it all wrong.
Nobody's wearing a mask. Were we doing that by then?
I think nobody. We were, no masks. What else?
Right. What was it was different. They played it like it was going to be cool. Lasers and grid fields, right? That's what they were.
That's what they were thinking. It's basically Blurn's ball or whatever. You know, just this Blurn's idea of a future sport thing. It's like Bases Loaded, except this is
like
SNK's,
Base Wars too, right?
Yeah, it's SNK's take on the idea. Really.
Yeah.
And this is on Genesis and SNES, by the way.
Yeah, everybody gets a little bit.
Everyone gets a taste here. Exactly.
Yeah.
SNES version better, in my opinion. I'm just throwing that out there. And I'm usually a Genesis guy when it comes to sports games.
Yeah.
I think it's a little better. So there you go. There's others you could mention. Baseball Star for the NES was another one. Greg for Walkman in our community mentioned that.
Mm-hmm. He liked those customizable options with the stats and the full season modes. Obviously a baseball kind of, or a stats person at least, if nothing else.
Yeah, Hardball 94 specifically for the Genesis. People like that game.
That's because that's when Brian's got it. That's the reason why I should mention, because the only baseball game that Brian has,
the only one you own.
That's the only one I own, man.
Yeah, and that was a precursor to what would be the World Series stuff later.
Right.
My problem with that game is they were just trying so hard to put so much shit on the screen. Let me pull this up so people can see it.
You can see it back here.
Look at that. It's just a crusty. I don't know. It's fine.
Fine.
It's a fine game. Hardball 94, great game.
Great but game. It's fine. It's great. It's kind of feel kind of small. Like some of these games have a real scale question to us. Like, how big do you make the stadium compared to the characters and the sprites? But I love the animation. It's like it's almost like Mortal Kombat style. Yeah,
it's mocap.
Mocap stuff. So yeah.
Mocap or like, it's rotoscope, I guess. Is
rotoscope. There you go.
Yeah. Love that stuff. Mm-hmm. What are your favorites that we missed? Are some of these, you hated them? Tell us, email us. We'd love to hear your feedback on today's episode, all about the 8-bit and 16-bit baseball years. I still say we peaked. Other games like this. I want to make sure I mention it again, and I haven't really gotten into it, but Super Mega Baseball is a series that is currently in its fourth iteration now. So Super Mega Baseball 4 came out 5 months ago or something. That game knows what we're talking about today. Well, and what they make is they make a modern video game that plays like these old games. And it's wonderful. If you haven't played Super Mega Baseball 1, 2, 3, or 4, first one or two are a little ugly, but whatever, they're still fine. But if you haven't played them, you're missing out if you're a baseball fan. You can sim them up a lot if you want to, or you can arcade them up if you want to. They're designed to kind of have a really good sliding, create the baseball experience you want to have kind of game. These aren't real players. These aren't real teams, although the teams are really stupid. And I love that. It's like, you know,
those are the ones with the big bobbly heads, right?
It's like mega, the Cincinnati meatballs and the, you know, stupid stuff like that. I'll pull up some video here, but it is a beautiful 3D modern game.
Right.
That plays.
And
like,
it's got both Super and Mega in the title. Yeah, so, I mean,
right. I think that's on I think that's them going, hey, we loved our Mega Drive and loved our Genesis.
That's right.
And so play this game. It's got great batting mechanics, great pitching mechanics. Really, really fun game. This is an amazing Steam Deck game, by the way. Real good on there.
Oh, yeah.
Can't say enough about it. If you have not played Super Mega Baseball and you still like this stuff or you want to get a modern taste, these games are great. So
I'm down.
Check them out. I think 3 still might be on Game Pass. Yeah. I think. But I know 4 is not yet. It will be probably at some point. All right. So there's that. Oh, and they do a lot of cool like interstitial. Oh, here's that pitching. See, this is how everyone does pitching now. It's just like that weird one.
Yeah. Well, that's like how it is on TV, right? That's the TV look you'd have.
Yeah. I think that's why they were trying to, even in the 16-bit ones, they were trying to aim for that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very good. So get it. Check it. Okay, Brian, time for us to switch gears and do this.
Destroy it.
it's time to play Guess Our Game. We play a little audio from an ancient game. We try to guess what it is and stump each other. We get three questions and some other hints along the way. I will start this week with mine, and it is a 1987 arcade title.
Oh, 87 arcade title. Okay. A little after the height of the arcades, but and before we get into the 90s. Okay, 87.
Yeah, it's right. like the lull period, actually.
The lull, yeah, right.
But you would call this a big deal because it ended up getting a ton of sequels, a bunch of console treatment. Those are hints, some good hints.
That's some good hints. You're getting hints. Here's you're going to be listed. Good hints.
Here's your sound hint. Any guesses?
Let's start asking questions. What's that now?
Any questions or guesses, I guess.
Any questions?
Any questions? Guess.
I'm hearing a lot of shooting, a lot of fast shooting. Is this a smup?
I will say, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think it's in that category. I wouldn't call it bullet hell, but I'd call it a shmup.
Okay. All right. What did you say? 87?
87 arcade.
87 arcade. Shmupping it up.
Shmupping that shit up, boy.
Is this kind of a side scrolling kind of deal thing? Like,
oh, good question. It is.
This is not like 3D, right? It's just like it's 87. It should be like
correct. It's 2D, but it is definitely side scrolling. Not vertical.
It's side to side. Oh, that's telling me a lot now. Okay, that's telling me a lot. Then let me hear the music again.
All right, hold on. Let me turn that up.
It's telling me a lot. I think I know what this is, but I'm gonna you're going through and you're just grabbing power ups, right?
I won't count that question against you, but you do.
Okay.
You get power ups. You have better weapons. You side scroll left to right the entire time. You never go back left.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, this is definitely a side-scrolling type of, like a shoot-em-up, shmup kind of thing there in 87.
Yeah.
We'll go with the one that I loved. R-Type.
Oh, shit! You are correct, sir. It is R-Type. Sweet. Nicely done.
I was
worried
it might not be the R-Type. I thought maybe it might be like a variation of R-Type, but okay, good.
Original R-Type, 1987, an amazing game, and R-Type would go on to be... an amazing series. Never not play R-Type if you're presented with an opportunity to play it.
Yes.
All right. Because it's
matter
very
of fact,
good.
You can get. Let's see. I'm gonna look up R-Type now. As a matter of fact, let's see.
There are some weird enemy types. There's one that looks just like an alien from the Aliens movie. I don't know how they got away with that, but whatever.
Oh man, everything looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Predators and Aliens during that time.
Yeah, that was the era.
They were stealing it wholesale.
That was the time, right?
Yeah.
That's where we lived, and that's how we played.
Super R-Type. I was worried it might be kind of like, because I was trying to remember if it was ever, because Super R-Type, I played tons of on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, it was a good version, too. It's really good.
But did they ever make it? Was never a Super. It was specifically for the Super Nintendo, right? That's what I was trying to
remember. I thought R-Type ended up all over the place, but I could be wrong.
It did. But I was trying to remember if Super R-Type was just specifically to the, or if it was a part of the series.
Well, here's what it says. R-Type is the first game to run on Irem 16-bit M72 arcade system. This was from, oh yeah, we mentioned that Irem is the is
okay.
The
so yeah, this looks like it's exclusive to the Super.
It says they developed too. The development team drew inspiration from Gradius, Aliens, and the works of H.I. Giger.
Yes. Totally.
Let's see. I'm trying to find out. R-Type DX for the Game Boy Color. 3D remake R-Type Dimensions was on the 360, PS3, also Windows, Switch, and PS4.
Yeah, everywhere. I mean, I've played it like a million times.
That's, yeah, R-Type's a big deal. Yeah. It's all it's over. Huge. Yeah, and there are lots of spinoffs and remakes and all that shit.
And the shooting sounds is more recognizable to me than the actual music. So I was kind of worried about that one.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like you're in an arcade almost. It's like a whole arcade in one game, you know? All right, Brian, I'm going to play yours. Give me a year and a system, will you?
The year in system are 1993 on the DOS, because I've been playing a lot of DOS stuff. I've loaded up 86 box, I think it's called. So it's kind of like that PC emulator thing I've been doing. And I've been going back through some DOS games. And this is what inspired me.
All right, nice. Oh my gosh, look how much they ripped off Alien. Hold on, I got to put this in our chat.
Look how much Alien ripoff.
Look at that. That's our
time. Totally. Yeah. They totally.
It's like, come on,
not
guys.
Even a question.
Yeah.
Inspired by? You mean stolen from?
You mean lifted from?
You mean lifted from?
Is that what you mean? All right, I'm gonna play it. Here we go. Sorry,
you'll either get this one right away, or this will be one that you won't know.
DOS 93.
That's what I guess.
All right, DOS 93. All I think of is Doom, but we'll try it and see what we get.
Okay.
Hold tight, Crawford. They're coming. I can smell them.
I hate that.
Oh, it's awesome.
All right, let's see.
You were right, Doctor. It's hopeless. What will you do? I think he would have liked to see his works donated to the British Museum.
Okay, is this a point-and-click adventure?
You might want to point and click your way through this adventure.
Okay.
Or you can use the arrow keys. I think it's basically how you do it.
But really?
You're in the right vein of, you know, thinking about that. So you can interact with stuff like, you know, yeah.
Was this a game? All right, well, that helps me narrow it down. Was this a game developed by LucasArts?
No.
Not LucasArts.
But I will tell you this, since we mentioned them earlier, because I almost got nervous. The developer and publisher is Infogrames.
Oh.
I don't know if that tells you anything, but yeah.
It doesn't. They're coming.
Did you scrub towards the end, too? Because near the end is some more dialogue.
Doctor, come back. I must show you this.
All right. Well, there goes my theory. I was going to say Day of the Tentacle. That is incorrect, right?
Wow. Yeah. I'm looking at the chat room and a lot of people saying the same thing. Interesting.
I'm surprised
no one's got it yet in the chat room.
Just that whole crazy scientist, weird sci-fi.
Yeah. It's weird sci-fi is a good way to think about it. It's kind of that weird. Yeah.
So it's
how many questions? How many did you ask? You only asked like one question.
I've only asked one. Yeah. Is it? Use the arrow
donated
keys.
To the British Museum.
Oh my gosh, dude, this is hard. Infogrames.
Infogrames.
Is it? Or have there been other sequels to it or follow ups made? Did it become a franchise?
Not in a. I'm trying to think. Did it? I think it did do like some more. Let me look here real quick. I only remember this one.
This is Ken Griffey Jr.
He didn't help. I was hoping he'd help me.
That's it. Yeah, there you go. You nailed it.
I was hoping he'd help me.
I tried to sneak it past
you. Let's play Major League Baseball.
Okay.
Baseball. I think this is kind of a one and done kind of thing, but I think it's part of maybe a bigger type of stuff. All right. Don't get too up on that.
Two questions.
Yes. It's not what you think of when you think of like a series, nothing like that.
Consoles that as way. Well, or did it only end up on PC and DOS?
This particular one only ended up on the DOS, the PC 98, so you could put it on there on your 98, PC 98, or Linux. Wow, I would have thought my DOS people would have been on it, but yeah.
Does nobody have it yet? I'm not looking.
Don't look, but one person has it.
Well, then I should be able to do this.
Oh, you think so? I don't know. This one person is
really smart.
A beast at guessing these things.
I
would never go against this individual for guessing audio games. No.
All right, I'm going to take one more guess.
All right, do it.
Infogrames made. Didn't they make Alone in the Dark? And we've done that game here, so
yeah, we did. That's the reason why people started putting Alone. It was Alone in the Dark. Yeah,
are people saying that? I'm not the only one.
One person. Yeah, no, actually,
you wouldn't do that because we already did a whole episode about that game.
Yeah,
you wouldn't do that, would you?
I don't know. Would I?
Would you?
Would you? I don't know. Why don't you keep guessing and find out?
93. I don't know. I'm out of ideas. What is
it? If you like to Alone in the Dark, you might like to call on the Cthulhu.
Call of Cthulhu?
Shadow of the Comet.
Shadow of the Comet? What the hell is that? Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
Shadow of the Comet. Oh, you ever seen this?
No.
This is a great game.
Tell me more. What is Shadow of the Comet?
Oh, dude, you got to. It's a little adventure game by Infogrames, and it follows all the stuff about the Halley's Comet. Remember that thing?
Comet.
How hot and excited you were about that?
I wrote Comet. So this is Shadow of the Comet. Yeah. What a dumb
Shadow of the Comet. So it kind of takes place during that time. But it's just
Call of
insanity.
Cthulhu, Shadow
All
of the Comet.
Characters oh, are just insane.
I remember this now.
Yeah, yeah. Once you see it, you're like, oh, yeah, this crazy thing.
I remember. I never played it, but I remember seeing this. And it's
you probably
on Steam.
Would have got this on a compilation or maybe would have found it in a bargain bin somewhere. I don't know if anybody actually played it when
it's
came
on
out.
Steam you know, for like $3.59. You can just buy it.
Probably so. Yep, yep.
Yeah, that's cheap.
Yeah, I would never go against Skits was the one who guessed it. I never go against Skits in guessing games.
Skits is pretty good.
Skits does it all the time.
One of the finest and most atmospheric Lovecraftian games you can ever play. The difficulty will probably force you to use a walkthrough, and the controls are not the best. But the beautiful pixel art, voice acting, and really good story make it a worthwhile experience, says this guy.
The crazy-ass acting. I've played through it a little bit. I forget. I think I picked it up last year.
Mm.
I think I was playing it on the Mister when I was messing with some DOS stuff, and I kind of got drug into it, and I was like, okay, I need to revisit this. So
it's fascinating. Never. Yeah. I thought I'd never heard of it. Now I remember, and now I feel dumb. But I didn't. No. But I lost today. Brian won today. That doesn't mean that next week it won't be different. Okay.
Well, you gave me an easy one, and I gave you a near impossible one. So you know, sometimes that's how it works.
That's how the chicken roasts itself. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Welcome to the treasure room.
It's time for voicemails and texts. I got a voicemail to play first. This is about the baseball conversation. Let's hear what this caller had to say.
Hey, Scott and Brian. Calling for Player Retro. This is Mr. Postman. Calling about next week's show about the retro baseball games. I spent so much of my life as a child playing Ken Griffey Jr.'s Major League Baseball on the Super Nintendo. I would go and get, like, Beckett's or old books with real rosters since they had the real teams but not the real players and update all the players' numbers and players' infos. And I spent so much time getting lost in that game. It was so much fun and brings back so many memories, and I can't wait for that episode. So I just wanted to call and share my excitement. Hope you guys have a great day. Love the show. See you later.
Sounds like he and I agree.
I know. That was an awesome call. Man, I mean, like the quality of the call. The content of the call, that is a new bar. That is a new bar.
Be like this guy. What was his name?
Hey, Scott and Brian. Calling for Player Retro. This is Mr. Postman.
Mr. Postman.
I don't know what you're doing, Mr. Postman, but you're doing really good.
Yeah, you brought us a dream, and you made it the cutest I've ever seen. All right. Let's move on to this text we got from Chris in Rhode Island. Same number, by the way, 801-471-0462. We'll render an email, a voicemail or a text. Please use it at your discretion. Hi, guys. A while back, I emailed the Boop Show about Devil's Tilt, a retro pinball game inspired by Alien Crush on the TurboGrafx. Well, the sequel just dropped, Xeno Tilt. I forgot to tell you I bought this. I picked this up.
Oh, okay. All right.
He says it's out. It's absolutely incredible. It keeps the beautiful pixel art of the first game and expands the gameplay by adding some shooter elements. I thought of you, Brian, and the rest of the listeners might be very interested. It's available on Steam, and I'm sure console ports are not far behind. Chris from Rhode Island. I grabbed it day one because I was so impressed with Alien Crush. I was blown away by it. This is really good, you guys. Real good. Xeno Tilt, I bought it, but I haven't played it yet. If he says it's like Alien Crush, but somehow better, oh my gosh, I can't wait. I just gotta play. We got one more from an anonymous listener. It says, hey, Retro, I was listening to the Oregon Trail episode, and Scott mentioned he would love a game that used something like ChatGPT or similar AI to create an endless storytelling adventure. Back in 2019-ish, a game came out called AI Dungeon and did exactly what you're talking about. I played around with it for a while. I remember it being pretty cool. I don't think I've toyed with it since its launch, but I imagine it's only gotten better over time. Anyway, if and no one has mentioned it yet, you should give it a look. AI Dungeon, he says.
Dungeon.
I did not try it yet, but I did pull it up here. It is still a thing. PlayAIDungeon.io.
Okay. I'm doing this now. All
I'm
right.
Pull it up here. So you start your adventure. Let's try this. So chat, let me show you what this looks like. There's a whole bunch of stuff in here, like different settings and characterizations and just different stuff you can do. But we're going to hit start. Do I have to log in? I hope not. Okay, hit start. Loading the adventure. AI dungeon works in any story. Okay, so we want to do fantasy, mystery, zombies, apocalyptic, cyberpunk, custom, or archive. Let's do fantasy, just to be easy.
Do some fantasy, why don't we?
Yep, my character will be a ranger. Let's see here. It's just a web thing here. Oh, my character's name is Choder.
Choder?
Yep. His name is Choder.
Choder's Box.
Choder's
Box. Is
that
box. What you... Choder's Box?
Choder's Box. Okay, you are Choder, a ranger living in the Kingdom of Larian. You have a hunting bow and a quiver of arrows. You have searched for a mysterious beast for 3 months, tracking it through the forest. As you cross behind a clump of trees, you see a majestic creature in the distance. Its fur gleaming in the sunlight with a pair of antlers and a tower over the trees. As you draw your bow and aim into the creature, you hear a faint growling sound behind you. Turning around, you see a pack of wolves. All right, so my options are take a turn, continue, retry, or erase. Let's take a turn. I'm going to say turn into the Hulk.
Turn.
Hulk. Hold on. And kill everything.
Kill with duh, kill everything.
Yep. And then I hit enter. Oh, chat can't see this. Sorry, chat's way low. Oh, geez. Scott, come on. Get your shit together, buddy. Why won't this work? There we go. It says you turn into the Hulk and kill everything. And then it says you cannot turn into the Hulk as this is not within the realm of possibility for your character. Okay, so it's smart. Let's take another turn.
So it's smart.
I run up the nearest tree. As you draw your bow and aim for a creature, you hear a faint... Oh, no, here we go. You quickly sprint toward the nearest tree, feeling the adrenaline pump through your veins as you hear the wolves growling and getting closer. You nimbly leap up and grab onto a sturdy branch, hauling yourself up as the first wolf lunges at you, snapping his jaws. So basically, it's creating like Zork, but, you know, AI-driven Zork, which is where I'm personally, I'm all for this AI application. I love it. I love the concept.
Yeah, like just it's one of the it's a strong point for the for this.
I agree. So I'll check that out more. Thank you for that. Looks like they have done some stuff with this thing since you last looked at it there, Mr. Anonymous.
Mr. Anonymous, why would you be anonymous?
Why are you anonymous? 801-471-0462. You can email us playretroshow@gmail.com. Next week we're gonna get hairy. And this is what I mean.
Okay.
We're going to play one of the most difficult game series in the history of the medium. We're going to play Ghosts and Goblins, the whole series.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. I'm afraid to say the whole series of anything.
Well, yeah, we got to be careful. This week. That's true.
We're gonna touch definitely on the Ghosts and Goblins, the first one, in whatever way it makes sense in the series. How about that?
Yeah, I'd like that plenty. But we'll definitely start with 1985's original Ghosts and Goblins. Of course, this is a Capcom joint, right? I believe.
Yes, I believe it was always Capcom.
I'm pretty sure it was. And then there's a whole bunch more there that you don't know about. You probably all know about Super Ghouls and Ghosts on the Super Nintendo, but you may not have known these were all tied together. Anyway, we're going to do that. We're going to look at its origins, why it's considered one of the greatest arcade experiences of all time, and why it's considered one of the most difficult. All right.
Because his balls hard. That's why, Scott.
Is that why his balls are hard?
Yeah, yes, his balls hard. And I'm gonna look forward to. I'll be out of town this weekend for a little bit with me and Brian Ibbett, and I was gonna play a little bit of Gargoyle's Quest 1 and 2 on the Game Boy on my Amber Deck.
Oh, very nice. While you're out, while you're on the road there,
on the road.
Well, that'll be fun for you. I'm gonna play it and then be mad and throw my Amber Deck across the room because this game is freaking hard. And
it's crazy hard. I can't wait to tackle it.
Yeah, it's considered like Souls-like of the era, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk more about it when we
come
back.
I'm going to fight until I'm naked.
That's right. That'll be next Wednesday right here. If you want to be here live, we do it on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 6 p.m. Eastern, for those who are wondering. And that would make it 3 p.m. Pacific. I guess that's how it works. If you're Central, well, that would be 5. All right? That'd be 5 p.m.
Oh, wait, do some more time zones. What about New Zealand? What we got in New Zealand?
Those guys are plus 6 or no, they're more
13
than that.
Or something. Plus 13. Like something crazy. They're like way off. They're way different than us.
I don't know how to help you people. All right? I just don't know what to do. You're great people, but you're going to have to figure out your own time zone. Anyway, that's what we'll do. It'll be next week, and we really look forward to it. I want to thank our patrons for supporting this show. Big thanks to a brand new patron named Dennis Rhodes. He found the value in supporting the show, where you'll get no commercials if you subscribe to our Patreon feed. You'll get pre-show content every week, monthly benefits. It can only be yours if you sign up today at patreon.com/playretro, and you get all the retroactive stuff as well. Speaking of retro. I think it's going to do it. Brian, is there anything you'd like to add to this before we go now?
Yeah, the WonderSwan, the projects are really working this their way around. That you can surf the internet with the WonderSwan.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, with the WonderSwan. Can you believe that crazy old thing?
That's weird.
I got one on order, which is why I mentioned it.
Really? You got it? Wow, I always wanted one. I'm just saying. I never got one.
This is like a orange translucent one. I've always wanted one as well, and it comes with like Final Fantasy. I can't remember which one it comes with, but I'm pretty stoked about it.
I'm jelly. I'm jelly.
Oh, don't worry. I'll show it to you, and then you can not to be as
jelly. I'm also jam as well.
Oh, peanut butter.
Well, anyway, that's how that'll go. So be here next time so we can talk more about that and everything else. Go play something retro, and we'll see you then.
Get more at frogpants.com.
I don't think so.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. Warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.